You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. And it's a live broadcast for Saturday evening, May the 2nd, as we come to you from Memphis, Tennessee. James Edwards and Keith Alexander in the studio. Everybody is doing the Freddy and talk radio and television, all media. Well, I don't know if they're doing the Freddy for the first time since 1965, but they are talking about Freddie, and that Freddie would be one Freddie Gray of Baltimore. And if you've been waiting for some honest commentary about the situation in Baltimore, look no further. You've come to the right place here in the Political Cesspool. And tonight's entire program is going to be dedicated to the ins and outs of all things Freddie Gray and Baltimore. Again, welcome to the show. Well, as we say quite often, it's a sad truth, but it's a truth nonetheless. You cannot have a first world nation with a third world population. And if you want to take a quick look into the future of what awaits you in American society if current trends persist, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Baltimore, Maryland over the course of the last week. And, you know, Keith, there has been no shortage of coverage, God knows, on this story. But we're going to tackle it from a slightly different angle. And again, that would be a truthful one. But let us say here in no uncertain terms that we are obviously take no delight. We take no delight in the fact that this man died. We don't know how he died, and neither do the rioters. What we do know is that he was a two-bit criminal. He was a degenerate. He wasted a life. He had a rap sheet a mile long, cocaine, possession, distribution. His loss, as sad as it is, and my heart goes out to his family, whatever family he may have had, it was no great loss to society, and it certainly was not a loss that should have brought about a riot in a major American city, the likes of which, hey, look, what happened in Baltimore made Ferguson in many ways look like child's play. And these people who are rioting are not rioting for any form of social justice. They couldn't have cared less about Freddie Gray. They are looking for any excuse to do what they are want to do, which is to go out and just be street rats. Keith?
Yeah, they're being hood rats, as they say. And this is just one of many. Yeah, turn me up, buddy. Okay. This is just one of many, the latest. This is the crisis du jour. We have a weekly crisis involving a black man somewhere being arrested. And, it started with Trayvon Martin and his death, his unfortunate death. Then we had Darren Wilson. Then we had the Gentle Giant, Michael Brown. We had, just one after another, and they keep bombarding us with one of these. It doesn't matter how many of these haymakers miss the mark. They've always got another one because apparently, it's getting to the point where if a black guy is arrested and doesn't want to be arrested and resists in any way, runs from the police, gets in the paddy wagon and starts thrashing around or something like this, you've got a potential. In fact, what they're looking for is the black equivalent of Otis the town drunk on the Andy Griffin show, who used to be given the keys and would let himself into the jail cell and lock himself in whenever he got too much to drink. That's the only black person, That's the only black person that can be arrested in America now without it dominating the news cycle. That dominates the news cycle on one hand. On the other hand, what else dominates the news cycle in between? Some silliness like some fraternity boy at the University of Oklahoma dropping the N-bomb, basically expressing his desire that he be a member of a fraternity populated with people that look like him. Now, had a black fraternity member made a similar comment, either one dropping the N-bomb or two saying that he wanted his fraternity to stay predominantly black, it would have been nothing. The silence would have been deafening. See, what is going on? What type of effect is the leftist elite that's in control of our news media trying to accomplish with these two stories? It's like yin and yang, the whites being excoriated for basically nothing except expressing their First Amendment rights on one hand, and this, you know, inconsolability about a black guy got arrested and happened to die.
And here's the thing, Keith, once again, you're talking about these rioters who really always are just looking for any excuse whatsoever. And the sad thing about it is that they have been enabled. How disgusting was Barack Obama this week? And once again, placing blame on the cops. You know, these cops in these cities with, diverse demographics are the only thing keeping these cities from utter anarchy. And this guy was being picked up once again because he was basically some petty career criminal. You don't get people, they talk about how blacks get, arrested more often. Well, they get arrested because they're doing things that are illegal. I don't see how this is such a great epiphany here. But this guy was picked up again. It appears as though he had some sort of a surgery a few days prior, and he gets in the back, a spinal surgery, according to what we've been able to gather. He gets in the back of this van and starts thrashing around, and guess what? He breaks his back and dies. Well, again, that's sad. I wish it hadn't happened. But the narrative was white cops, evil, petty black criminal, saint, and not even all the cops were white. There was
no,
some of the
fact, I think four of the cops of the five, three or four of them were black, and two or three of them were white.
But again, who's going to wait for the facts to come in before you waste a good opportunity to
write?
I'm
sure that we'll find out from somebody like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton that the white cops are really the bad dudes in this whole scenario.
And then these police, God bless them. I mean, for God's sake, they're here like a Roman phalanx, and they're getting pushed back. You could actually see on network television, live network television, these police being forced to retreat because the all-black Democratic government of the city of Baltimore will not let them do what needs to be done in a time of insurrection to put down the uprising.
And let me just add this. If you want to see how dysfunctional a city can get under black leadership, take a look at Baltimore. I listened to that mayor or mayorette or whatever that they have over there, and I said, this has to be the dumbest person I've ever seen in a position of authority. Well, I had to retract that almost immediately, because then I heard the black district attorney speak, who is even dumber than the mayor, less literate and less reasonable. It's rationality is a lost cause.
And, the one person I saw making the most sense on this happened to be a black fellow up from Milwaukee, Sheriff David Clark, who, my God, I wish he was the sheriff there in Baltimore. It would have been a whole different story. But you're right, Keith. I mean, it goes without saying that they operate. We get called all sorts of names. They're the ones operating from a sense of malicious racial solidarity, where no matter who's right or who's wrong, they're going to side with their people. That's when it gets past.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here. And so we're talking about Baltimore. Another thing, there's so many facets to this and so many aspects of it. You don't really know what to cover that hasn't been covered already. I mean, there's not any shortage of things that haven't been covered already. And that's what I guess the point I'm trying to get at. I would say this, though. Now, the riots, Keith, apparently seem to be organized via social media, places like Facebook. Now, we know that this radio program itself, about 5 or 6 years ago, had a, we were on Facebook, we had a Facebook fan page for just a couple of weeks. Now, we are a conservative Christian radio show. That is the best way and the most accurate way that I could define us. Conservative Christian, you know, a truly paleo-conservative, genuine conservative, genuinely conservative and Christian talk show. We talk about taboo issues, to be sure, and we try to talk about them as frankly and candidly as possible, and for that, we catch a lot of inappropriate flack, but that's how I would describe us. So we get on Facebook for a couple of weeks. I think we're up over 10,000 fans on the Facebook page in very short order. Facebook cancels us, says, you know, we're beyond the pale. Now, you get these gangbangers on Facebook that organize a riot of a major American city, and I haven't heard, Keith, anything at all in terms of repercussions from the management or any responsibility or accountability from Facebook. I don't think any of their pages got shut down.
Well, the silence is deafening, as they say, and the silence is deafening because it's not being organized by Facebook. It's being organized by people like George Soros and his organization. And they've got the money to make sure that the beat goes on, as they say. So they're going to continue to use Facebook. They're going to continue to use the internet as an alerting mechanism to mobilize these riots. And you know, it's more important to silence us than it is to silence people that are burning down a major American city.
And as we remember from the MIAC report a few years back, Keith, people who have a Ron Paul bumper sticker is somebody that law enforcement officials should look at as being a potential domestic terrorist. How many news broadcasts have you heard referring to the people that are actually committing acts of terrorism in Baltimore as terrorists? You can't call, you know, people are spending more time worrying about folks who accurately and appropriately define them as thugs than what they're doing. It's a greater sin to call these thugs thugs than to call...
That's what happens when the left is in charge of the media. They set the rules, and they have an absurd notion of what's important and what isn't. It's very important. It dominates the airways. You basically ruin the life of a drunken fraternity boy who drops the N-bomb on social media and runs a little movie clip or something, or a little video clip of he and his fraternity brothers chanting something. That's really important. Burning down city after city, using Facebook, using the internet as a mechanism to mobilize the ground troops to do that. Well, no one's taking responsibility for that. They're not shut down, but we are. James, help me with this. How many American cities have we burned down here at the Political Cesspool over the years?
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And, of course, you know, college kid did something he shouldn't have done, but it wasn't any cause for that sort of national media attention.
He was about, look, yeah, I'll even go further than that. He was exercising his First Amendment rights.
You could argue that very effectively. I mean, it's certainly not...
He wasn't calling for violence against anyone.
Well, no, look,
unlike these so-called protesters and their organizers in Baltimore, in Ferguson, Missouri, and elsewhere.
And the thing in Baltimore obviously has gotten more media attention than the fraternity kids, although they got a week's worth of national news coverage. It was the biggest story in the country, the biggest manufactured fake news story in the country. But the thing about Baltimore is, not that it's getting the coverage, but that 70% of the coverage is these liberals and so-called conservatives wringing their hands about, you know, how the blacks were forced to do this because of mistreatment. Well, here's the thing. When you marinate a minority and teach them that everything that has gone wrong in their life is the result of white people, which is exactly how these people have been taught from day one. You teach them to hate whites, and they do, believe me. You give them a short fuse. They've already got low IQs and poor impulse controls, many of them, at least the time.
And then you tell them, James, that, look, right now, wink, wink, nod, nod, you can go out there and steal your head off, get everything you want, bust in windows, there'll be no consequences. I guarantee you that the fraternity boy at the University of Oklahoma has suffered more serious consequences and repercussions in his life than almost every rioter and looter that's been involved in Ferguson and Baltimore.
You've got the media sanctioning this, saying that basically, listen, you are justified in doing this. Yeah, it might not be the best thing to do, but we can't blame you because, you know, slavery existed here 300 years ago. So, by God, you know what? If you need to go out and loot a liquor store, we understand. The president says, hey, it's the cop's fault.
Get yourself some free liquor. Get yourself some free clothes or Nike shoes or whatever.
It's the cop's fault. You know, we have injustice in this country.
Yeah,
you know,
this is kind of self-help reparations, I guess.
Blaming the cops, blaming white people. Here's the fact of the matter. Minorities get preferential treatment over whites in every aspect of American society, whether it comes to college admissions, whether it comes to promotions and
government contracts,
quotas, set-asides. We have gone far above and beyond equal rights for all. Now we've gotten into privileges.
Equal rights for all was just a lie told to get the camel's nose in the tent. They moved seamlessly from racial discrimination against blacks to maybe for a 15-minute interlude, equal rights, and then it went to racial discrimination in favor of non-whites.
And as we say,
blacks.
You know, I truly don't have a problem with equal rights for all and special privileges for none, but I also believe...
We never had that and never will have that.
Well, and I was going to follow that up with the caveat, I do believe in true freedom, and I believe in the right for people to have freedom of association, the freedom to associate with whomever they wish, to do business with whomever they wish, or whomever they do not wish. I believe in the freedom of speech, and not just politically correct, kosher-sanctioned speech. You get real talk here on the Political Cesspool, and we're going to talk about how big we've become, and who knows us, who is talking about us later on in the show. Got an interesting story about that. But you look at the political demographics of Baltimore. You got a black mayor, you got a black chief of police, you got a black United States congressman. This should be some sort of great utopia, right, Keith? I mean, what are they upset
about? Where's the oppression coming from? That's what I'd like to know. Everybody who's anybody in their government is black.
A black Democrat. And so they should have this, you know, great peace, justice, and diversity. I mean, Baltimore should be
Nirvana. This should be Shambhala.
Harmonic utopia there in Baltimore, but it's anything but. And you see this stuff. And listen, we know not all black people are participating in this, but there's so many compared to the number of red state, you know, white conservative Americans that you got a sample size, you got to go with it. When this stuff happens, it's the usual suspects, and there's a common denominator there. And they're saying, you know, well, we got to riot and tear up Baltimore because look at what they've given us. What are we supposed to do with this? Well, they gave them the city of Baltimore.
Well, so see the incredible double standard here. A white person has to watch their P's and Q's and doesn't dare even say, utter certain words or do certain things that are basically just an expression of freedom of speech without suffering dire consequences like being kicked out of college and probably never going to be able to get back into college anywhere. That's what's going to happen to this Oklahoma City, University of Oklahoma college student. On the other hand, if you're black and if you're in one of these cities where the left is trying to mobilize a riot, you can burn down millions of dollars worth of property. You can steal thousands of dollars worth of merchandise. You can destroy businesses. You can basically gut a whole section of your city and pay no consequences at all.
Well, and
except be patted on the back by the mainstream media.
As if you're some sort of a social justice warrior. They have equated this looting and vandalism and criminal behavior, rioting, insurrection, uprising with, you know, the suggestion that we should have, we should be able
some type of heroic civil rights crusade.
Exactly. I mean, and listen, we're just having Frank talk about this. This is the place where the free speech still exists on this radio program. You may disagree with us. If your brain's working, you probably agree with us. But we're going to have our say. And we're going to have our say right after this commercial break. More of it. We're going to play a song for Keith right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us. TheAmericanFreedomParty.us. Once again, TheAmericanFreedomParty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at
6-3-9. Again, you know, you look at this and you say, in all honesty, if they had taken for themselves true leaders and true representatives of their ethnic community, their racial community, if they had taken people like Sheriff David Clark in Milwaukee, Jesse Lee Peterson, who is on the same station as us here in Memphis, Tennessee, who I've appeared, he and I were actually allies in a debate on CNN about racial segregation. Jesse and I were, and, you know, James Manning, who was on this very show a couple of weeks ago. You know, these should be the people that, you know, not just represent, you know, the black community, although they should, but these are people that, for a lot of reasons, would represent all of America. But
look, the media does this and has done this. Let me bring this in because it's an opportune time to do this. At the turn of the 20th century, there are three basic spokesmen for the black point of view in America. One was Booker T. Washington, who said that if there's anything wrong with the black community, they need to look inward at themselves. Then you had Marcus Garvey, the guy that dressed up with the, you know, Napoleonic hat on his head, who said that American society is so corrupt that the only way that the black man can get justice is to remove himself and go back to Africa. And then number three was W.E.B. Du Bois, who was one of the founders of the NAACP, who said that if anything is wrong with the black community, it's the white people's fault. That, unfortunately, that's the one they grabbed onto, latched onto, forgot the other two, and they're doing the same thing now. We have all sorts of black people, like Reverend Manning, like Mr. Clark, like all sorts of sheriffs and responsible people, like what's that guy's name who is the neurosurgeon, Ben Carson.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're not legitimate black spokesmen because they haven't got George Soros's seal of approval.
Well, and this is the thing, and this is what's sad, is that, I mean, yeah, there are obviously good people in every community, but, you know, the people who truly hate America and who hate white people have weaponized these
and they're large
folks.
In charge.
They've weaponized these folks. They've marinated them in hatred against the white majority since birth. They have given them the green light. Anything you want to do, hey, it's sanctioned because, you know, you've been held out. Every deficiency you have, every bad thing that's happened to you in life has happened to you because of the white man. And so, therefore, if you want to have an intentional violent uprising, go for it.
And more than that, this is the goal of the new American public educational system under John Dewey and Skinner's genesis, all the way up to Common Core today. And by the way, I should hats off to the Tennessee state legislature that voted down Common Core, said that Common Core will not be taught in the Tennessee public school system. And I think that way they've done it is going to be a template for other states. You don't want this, because what they're doing in public education now is they are conditioning kids, they're conditioning white kids to think that they are not good people unless they are part of a charitable outreach, which is basically transferring wealth from the white community to the non-white community. And black people are not authentic good people unless they're mad as hell about supposed grievances. They're supposedly emasculated, have no power, even though in places like Baltimore, they're the only people in government.
So, I mean, once again, the reality doesn't match up, or rather the facts and the reality doesn't match up to their fantasy, you know, and their rhetoric. So, again, yeah, we can name some people that would be good stewards to be leaders in that community, but they're not going to ascend to that
position.
They're
going to be the last people ever selected.
They need to be the leaders. They're not, but we need our leadership as well, and that's where the political cesspool comes in. But I'll ask you this, folks, and this is something that you really have to be honest with yourself about. When whites become a minority in this nation, do you think that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing for all people in this country and for America itself? Do you think it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing when we're so outnumbered that, I mean, already the police have their hand tied
Look what's happening in Baltimore right now. For example, the corrupt district attorney there, the one who was dumber than even the mayor of that city, has come forward and indicted the cops that are involved, despite protests from the police union, despite the fact that the story is coming out now that Freddie was throwing himself around trying to make a scene in the paddy wagon, and he should have known that after having this neck surgery that he had that he was putting himself in jeopardy. I'm sure the doctor didn't tell him to go around and do stuff like that, go out and play football and spear people.
But again, what people don't understand, why was he in the paddy wagon to begin with? Because he was doing something illegal, and he was a career criminal that had he obviously had eyes on him because he had been arrested, what, 12 times in 8 years?
Apparently they have to, when they arrest him and put it in the paddy wagon, they have to encase him in bubble wrap so that he can't hurt himself.
I mean,
But
I mean,
you see what's happening here because of this. Also, what I want to point out is that all of these so-called black organizers are talking about, you know, how wonderful it is that the police are being indicted, and this is just the first step. This is, ironically enough, a lynch mob. A black lynch mob, and of course, they've already tried to do some preemptive work on this at CBS, ABC, NBC, saying how, oh no, it's not the same way, but it is, because black people are in charge of the entire governmental apparatus, including the judicial system and the prosecutorial system there, and they are using it for racial purposes. They are now, and of course, they're getting nothing but applause from the mainstream media for doing this. And, you know, I'd like to see somebody, you know, let's say that these guys were actually lynched. I'm afraid that the mainstream media is supposed to be, well, five down, 3,550 to go. That's how many lynchings there were since the end of the Civil War until 1965 or 1960 or something like this. And, you know, those are, you know, supposedly the most valuable lives in the world. What is 3,500 or 4,000 deaths? That's probably a normal 2 months of the death toll for black-on-black crime in America.
There you go. And that's another thing that should be talked about. I want to remind people here, take a quick pause. We've been so busy tonight. We haven't even made mention that we are having the Political Cesspool Online Chat and Virtual Fan Party, fans from all around the world, gathering at our host site. Of course, our website is thepoliticalcesspool.org, but those who host our chat are our partners, the Council of Conservative Citizens. So go to COFCC.org. Join us in the chat. Or actually, they don't have it posted there tonight, so you'll have to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and just link over to the chat room. But you can get in there easily if you just go to our website and click on the top article at our blog. But what we're talking about here are career criminals, black or white. The thing is, when a white thug gets picked up for committing a crime, nobody cares because, listen, justice was served. You break the law, you get arrested. That's how it works. Now, when a black guy, if the media can sink its teeth into it and pervert it to be some sort of a social injustice, as if, you know, nothing's changed since their fantasy of how America was in the 50s and 60s, then they will. But how do we allow? You know, used to, when you had a riot, you were allowed to shoot the looters on site. You know, the consequences and the punishment for malfeasance.
They had much less looting.
During a state of unrest was people get shot in those situations. You know, the punishment is a lot stiffer. We have allowed this to occur. I mean, not only are the cops... Who would want to be a cop now? Who would want to be a cop? If you do your job...
in a place like Baltimore, Maryland, where if you do your job... Well, particularly if you're in a place like Baltimore, where if you're a cop, white or black, and you do your job, which is to apprehend and arrest lawbreakers, most of whom are going to be black, every incident that you do where you're doing your job is fraught with peril, depending on the reaction of the criminal. If the criminal is not Otis the Drunk from Mayberry, from the old Andy Griffin show that... compliantly lets himself into the jail cell and locks the door behind him, if he is, you know, unhappy about this situation in any way, if he tries to escape, if he tries to resist the police, I mean, the whole episode is fraught with peril from the police, and not only the actual physical danger, but the political danger.
Got to take a break. When we come back, Scoop Stanton's going to call in, and he's going to guide this next segment with his report right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I don't know if it's just the show is so good tonight or if it's just hot in here, but I am sweating. I'm sweating here. It's like I'm playing a football game with microphone in hand as we continue on tonight with our coverage about the situation in Baltimore, political cesspool style. We've got Peter Scoop Stanton on the line calling in with his weekly contribution. Of course, Scoop is our Washington, D.C. area correspondent, and he penned a little article for our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You might want to go check that out during the next commercial break if you haven't seen it already. And while you're there at thepoliticalcesspool.org, come on over and join us in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat. All the links are there, and you can join fellow TPC fans in their discussion. A lot of people from a lot of places sounding off on the situation in Baltimore in the cesspool chat as they listen simultaneously. It's just great what you can do with all this technology. Scoop, over to you.
All right, good evening, James and Keith and the rest of the cesspool family. All right, pop quiz, everybody. You have a three-month-old at home, and you have some time off. Where would you go? Either A, an amusement park, B, a zoo, or C, what's Baltimore? Well, guess where I went to? That's right. Yours truly brought Little Scooper to West Baltimore. I decided to see it for myself, but I had to take some precautions. Before I entered the Charm City, I made sure I had plenty of gas in my car, and I was not going to cut the engine off or take my kid out of the car for safety reasons. As I was driving in, I took 395 as usual, went down to the downtown area. Driving around downtown, it was absolutely perfectly normal until I got to City Hall and police headquarters, which is within walking distance of each other, and it was locked down like a prison. I saw Baltimore City Police, Maryland State Police, Maryland MTA Police, and the National Guard troops. And there was fencing all around the area, and there's media vehicles as long as the eye could see. And then as I was driving through downtown, I also saw a unmarked vehicle for the New York State Police. So everybody and their brother was coming into Baltimore to go hang out. So then I decided to go outside of downtown Baltimore, see what else is going on. I decided to go to the CVS on Pennsylvania Avenue that was burned down in West Baltimore. Also, the crime scene at North Avenue and Mount Street, and the senior center at Federal and Chester Street that was burned down. The senior center was built by a church. It was about to open, help out seniors, and the fine residents of Baltimore and the tourists decided to burn it down. Now, driving up Pennsylvania Avenue from downtown, I saw absolutely no white people. As I was driving, I made sure I kept about almost half a car length back because in case something should happen, I can do some James Bond moves. Usually in a big city, you get bumper to bumper, but I said, I have my son in the car. It's not worth the risk. And I was driving up and thinking, all right, here I am in a full-size Chevy Monte Carlo, Chevy Impala, white guy driving through West Baltimore. They're probably thinking I'm the police. So needless to say, I'm driving through West Baltimore, going to CVS, and I saw absolutely no police and only one cameraman, and absolutely no white people. Now, granted, I didn't even make it to the 2500 block of Pennsylvania Avenue. I got about the 2000 block, and I decided, you know what? This is not worth it. I have my newborn in the car. I'll watch it on TV. So then I decided to hightail it out of town. As I'm driving through Pennsylvania Avenue in West Baltimore, I was looking around, and it looked like absolutely Fallujah. You couldn't tell what was recently burnt and what just was left to rot from the first riot in the 1960s. And I said, all right, the same for me. I'm heading out of town. So I'm driving out of town, and I swear to God, I was in the back lot of the TV show The Wire. Just all these bombed out, burned out row houses, empty lots, and nothing for miles around. So I put a little pressure on the accelerator, and there's a whole bunch of California stops, and I might have went above the postal speed limit. But then again, I don't think nobody would care. So headed back home, I had to go back into downtown Baltimore. And sure enough, downtown is where they have all the National Guard troops, have all the local police, have all the out-of-town police. And I said to myself, now I know the reason why you have all this law enforcement and police presence in downtown is because downtown's where it's at. Downtown is Baltimore is where you have the National Aquarium, you have the ballpark, you have the football field, you have hotels, you have businesses, you have high-end condos, you have the Inner Harbor, you have Fells Point, Port McHenry, so on and so forth. downtown Baltimore is a tax base. Downtown Baltimore supports the rest of Baltimore City. And I said, oh, okay, so they're protecting what's, you know, what's left of Baltimore. That's why when the protesters got mad at the day of Mr. Gray's funeral, they went to downtown Baltimore because there's nothing left to burn outside of downtown. Because if they burn a bunch of row houses or burn a check cashing place, nobody's going to notice. That's why right by Camden Yards, all those bars right along outside the ballpark, they were attacked because, again, there's nothing there. But what really, really ticked me off was watching these white people at the protests. I was watching CNN all day long today, and you had all these white people at City Hall, the Inner Harbor, protesting Black Lives Don't Matter, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, I Can't Breathe, all this other nonsense. Meanwhile, they were nowhere near CVS until today when they had thousands of people marching up along with all the TV cameras. So they're all about saving black lives, but they will not ever move to these neighborhoods, hang out with these people, or unless they're buying some narcotics. So that's my report from beautiful downtown Baltimore and horrible western Baltimore. And needless to say, I'd like to thank Chevrolet for making a nice automobile. I'd like to thank AAA Auto Service for keeping my car in tip-top shape, and Shell Gasoline for keeping my engine clean. And myself and Lil Scooper made it out without a scratch. Back to you in the studio.
Absolutely incredible report, riveting. And I this could be the highlight of the first hour, but there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, our very own Scoop Stanton, our intrepid correspondent, who is solely responsible for any number of major national news coverage this show has received as a result of some of the guests he's booked and some of the things he's done. Scoop's a great asset to the team here, Team TPC. But here we have one of our own assets going into the war zone, going in to give you an eyewitness and firsthand accounting of what he saw in Baltimore, and he did it just yesterday and wrote a report about it, which is the entry you can find at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And Scoop, I want to thank you and salute you for going in there so you could provide the live audience tonight with your testimony. Keith, what did you take of what Scoop had to report?
The only thing I would add to it is that there's one other key factor that is present in downtown Baltimore that may be the ultimate explanation for why all the police presence was focused in that part of town. The government, in other words, the black mayor, the black district attorney, all of the black elected officials, that's their bailiwick. So consequently, they want to make sure they're protected. You know, they're more than happy to egg on the rioters as long as they don't stop preaching and start meddling by burning down their digs.
And I want to circle back to something that Scoop said that's very important and it shouldn't be glossed over. And that is, as he was driving through Baltimore and he saw the sights that we've all seen on television with his own two eyes, he saw the CVS that was, you know, they begged CVS to invest and build that franchise there.
So it could be burned down,
apparently. I mean, that's what you get. That's diversity and multiculturalism for
you. No good deed will go unpunished.
But what he said was he couldn't tell what was burned by the rioters this week and what was left from 1965. And here's what I heard a lot of people say, a lot of black people were saying, this is all they've given us, you know, talking about, well, we had to riot because they haven't given us anything better. If they'd given us, you know, brand new stuff, we wouldn't have done it. But, you know, George Wallace once said in the 60s, a man who works should live better than a man who doesn't. And, you know, I know we're not supposed to quote George Wallace. He's supposed to be some evil bigot. You know, he was right about a lot of things. But and we've had his son on this show, by the way. But this is, I mean, they're saying, you know, you haven't given us more, so therefore we're mad and we're going to burn down what's left. We gave them the whole
city. Of
course,
that's total flapdoodle because had they built three or four CVSs, they would have burned down three
or four CVSs. If they'd have torn down everything and built it brand new for them, you'd still going to have the same problems because it's hard to circumvent nature and genetic predisposition.
And then they're going to be, again, hogging the spotlight, saying, you better come back in here and rebuild everything, or else if you don't, we're being disrespected, and we're going to have another riot about that.
Let's give Scoop the last word because he's the star of this segment. And Scoop, again, I applaud you for your commentary and your report tonight, and we appreciate you going into the belly of the beast to provide it for our audience. Anything else you have on the table?
Yes, I went online before I came online with the show. Look for the local locations in Baltimore for a Starbucks in case I wanted to get a cup of coffee next time I am in Charm City. Needless to say, there is no Starbucks within 2 miles outside of downtown Baltimore.
Surprise, surprise.
There's probably a wig outlet.
Well, as Joe Sobrin said, when it comes to their mating and migratory habits, liberals are indistinguishable from members of the Ku Klux Klan, and that certainly applies to Howard Schultz as well, to be sure. And as Scoop, listen, again, this may be the highlight of the program tonight, so I want to give you your full due. Final word for the audience before we head into the break. And remember, folks, we're going to be continuing our discussion about Baltimore for the second and third hours. And you can join us in that discussion at cfcc.org. Go there now. And our gracious host, Kyle, has put that link to join us in the chat room right there at the top. A final word, Scoop, to you, my friend.
Yes, all Baltimore PD officers, please be safe. We support you.
God bless you. Yeah, God bless you, Scoop, and God bless the cops who are keeping us one inch away from total carnage and chaos. We'll be back with more right after this.
Thin Blue Line.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.